Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2. And we've been looking at verse number 15, which says, "Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men." And we've been looking at some issues over the last few episodes related to this issue of the example of the assembly in Judea, and how it was that they had gone through various things related to persecution, had become an example unto the Thessalonian assembly, and how, as the Apostle Paul is describing some of the things that were going on related to Judea, describes their failures, and how it is that they rejected the offer of the kingdom that was being made to them, and through this rejection, were responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophets that had been given unto them. And as we continue looking at some of these issues, I want to go over to the book of Matthew chapter number 27 here to continue looking at some things of where we left off related to the death of Jesus Christ and the responsibility that the nation of Israel was, you know, given under this here. And in Matthew chapter number 27, we're going to start here at verse number 15. And it says, "Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now we see how the religious eldership really had done everything that they could to try to make sure that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be put to death, because they were the leaders of this rejection of him, because they failed to see that he was the one that the prophecies had all been pointing to, that was going to come, that was going to be the Messiah, that was going to be able to usher in the kingdom, because they just could not see through their arrogance, through their traditions that they had set up. And they convinced the people that he should be rejected. And the statement that you see at the end of this passage really shows how their thought process was, that they were taking the responsibility But even inside of that responsibility, they say something that gave them an extension to really be able to maybe have that chance to get into the position that they should have been. When the statement that they say, I want to read verse 25 here again, when it says, "Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children." That they were actually saying that His blood was going to be on them, and it was going to end up functioning as a covering unto them to give them another chance, so that way maybe they would be able to actually accept who He was, even though they were outright rejecting Him. Now, after His death, you know, when you see Peter and the apostles actually preaching to the nation of Israel, giving them the gospel message, talking about the condition that they were in, you never see Peter point to the cross as a positive event for them. You know, he doesn't give the message that the Apostle Paul does for what is salvation today. Because Paul points to the cross and talks about what it accomplished for us when he identifies the gospel as the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and how a person puts their trust in that and that alone, and it gives them the salvation that we need today. The apostles will talk about the cross in a completely different manner. In fact, we can go over to the book of Acts, and we'll go to Acts chapter number 2 first. And we're going to look at a couple passages here in the early part of the book of Acts to identify how it is that Peter and the apostles were actually approaching the things of the cross as they were speaking to the nation of Israel and giving them, you know, information that would attempt to get them to where they need to be. And here in Acts chapter number 2, we're going to read here starting at verse number 22. And it says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, being loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." And he's going to continue on describing some things of what occurred with this. But you see how the statement that's being made and the audience that we have in Acts chapter number 2 is the men of Israel. Israel is the focus here. So even when you get down into, you know, verse 38, which so many people try to say is the gospel message for today, Israel is the audience of this. But you see how the statement, it's not a victory that was spoken of related to the cross. It was the fact that by wicked hands they took him, they crucified and slain him. The issue of his death is being added unto them as, you know, this is another failure. This is another thing that you're going to have to repent from in order to be able to have this salvation, in order to get right and be part of this little flock that's going to be where the kingdom's going to be dealt with. They're going to have to do the things of getting right. We continue on. Let's go over to chapter number 3. You know, in chapter 3 is the exact same day as chapter number 2. We're still on the day of Pentecost here. And we're going to see again that Peter's going to be speaking, and he's going to be saying, the same things to the nation of Israel again here. We're going to pick up here verse number 11 of Acts chapter number 3. And it says, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch which is, that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So we see even in this second time addressing the nation of Israel that it's not a positive speaking of the things of the cross. It's he talks about them killing him. You know, that's not a statement of a victory or some benefit that's coming upon the nation of Israel as a result of this event actually going on. We can see, let's go over to chapter number 5. And we'll see a third time here in the early part of the book of Acts where this is actually being said to the nation of Israel, talking about how they had failed, how they had rejected what was going on, and the fact that they were not in the right position that they were supposed to be. And here in Acts chapter number 5, we're going to start here verse number 29. It says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Now, we see here this description of, you know, what had happened, and we see the results of this, you know, that if we read the very next verse, it says, "When they heard that they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them." So they had a complete understanding of what was being said to them, of how they were being accused of this. They don't see the victory that's being spoken of related to this. And as a result, knowing that this was a rejection of Israel because of their rejection of the kingdom, their rejection of the Messiah, it leads to them having this issue of, well, we're going to kill these messengers as well. And unfortunately, that has been Israel's history over and over again of just, you know, they don't like the message that's being given, and so they just, well, let's kill individuals because we don't like the message. Now, what's interesting is that you can see, and let's go over to Luke chapter number 13, of where there's a parable that's given here in the book of Luke that actually is going to point to how it is that, you know, knowing that they were going to have this rejection, the Lord Jesus Christ lays out some things that way they would understand, you know, those who were part of that believing remnant, what was going on here in this. And here in Luke chapter number 13, we're going to start here right at verse number 1. It says, "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." So we see this issue of this parable that's being given. And now the parables were things of where information that was necessary for the believing remnant inside of the nation of Israel was being taught in a manner of where only those who had the doctrinal understanding would be able to see exactly what was being laid out for them, and so that way they would have an understanding of this is what's supposed to be going on. Everyone else who was hearing this would be looking going, I have no idea what it is that he's teaching here, but they would have to have a manner of knowing exactly what it is that they would be looking at and saying, okay, I can understand based on this system of interpretation that I have related to this. And so when they heard this, if they were actually had this true understanding of what was going on, they would have been able to look at this and they would see the elements that are being laid out here. That there's a certain man, there's a fig tree, there's a vineyard that's given here, there's a dresser of the vineyard, there's a period of 3 years that's being spoken of. There's an issue of fruit that kind of keeps coming up. And then there's an issue of this digging about it and dunging it. And then the issue of cutting down what's going on here. Now, as they would have looked at this and said, okay, here's these things, now they would be able to say, okay, if I have that understanding and I start plugging in the pieces of exactly what's being spoken of, now I can have the understanding of what's being said. Now, this certain man that's laid here, this is speaking of, you know, God the Father. He has a fig tree. The fig tree is the religious element inside of the nation of Israel. The vineyard is the nation of Israel itself. So now we have the Lord, God the Father, speaking about this system of religion that has been set up inside of the nation of Israel, and how he keeps looking at the religious element of the nation of Israel and looking for fruit, looking for them to be doing the things that he has intended for them to do, and how they keep having all of these failures related to what's being done or what it is that they're supposed to be doing according to the word of God that had been given them. So he's looking at this. Then he says about so God the Father is going to speak unto the dresser of his vineyard. So God the Father is going to speak to God the Son, talking about the 3 years, you know, the 3 years that the Lord Jesus Christ was ministering unto the nation of Israel, offering the kingdom unto them. It says, and he found, you know, he keeps, for these 3 years, he's come looking for the fruit from the nation of Israel, and he's found none. He's found, they have not put themselves in the position of where they're supposed to be in order to have the kingdom come upon them. He says, you know, I found it, you know, cut it down. Let's end this now. Let's usher in the thing of, you know, what should have happened prophetically, which would have been the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel and the events leading up to the day of the Lord and the judgment coming upon them as a result of their failure. And that's what the issue of this cutting it down. And the dresser of the field is going to speak. So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to speak to God the Father and is going to say, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. So the Lord Jesus Christ is saying about, let's give them another chance. Let's give them one more year. And as we're going to give this one more year, this issue of the digging about it and dunging it, you know, is, you know, we have God the Father, we have God the Son in this. It's the issue of the ministry of God the Holy Ghost ministering unto the nation, giving them this chance of where here's an offer of the kingdom one more time. You know, try to get it right. And what you have, this parable is giving them, laying out, you know, the rejection that's happening and how they're rejecting what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing and how there's going to be a ministry of the Holy Ghost of where the nation as a whole is going to have one more chance to try to get right. And if they, and when you see in verse 9, if it bear fruit well, so if they do exactly what they're supposed to do as a nation, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, prepare themselves to be able to enter into the kingdom, it says, well, then it's good for them, because then the kingdom can be ushered in. And, you know, if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So if they accept him, great, then the kingdom can be ushered in. And if they reject who he is, if they reject these things that are going on, then it would be a thing of, okay, we're going to do exactly what had been said before about cutting it down, ushering in the 70th week of Daniel, the day of the Lord, all of those events of the punishment coming on as a result of the rejection of this offer. But they're being given one more chance to try to get right. Now, we know from looking at the book of Acts that they reject this again because they still can't get it right. And without the dispensation of the grace of God being ushered in, the result would have been for the day of the Lord to have occurred, for all of those prophetic events to happen. Now, all of those things are going to occur. You know, God is not slack concerning his promises. God is going to fulfill all of the prophecies that had been laid out, and those events will happen, and the kingdom will be established here on the earth, even with Israel's multiple rejections of what was going on. Now, next time we're going to look at some of the issues related to their rejection of the prophets, you know, the things that had led up to the Lord Jesus Christ and how they could not get it right during those times as well. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of Sunday services. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they occur on Facebook. We also have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything in these broadcasts, anything that you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep holding to the truth of God's Word, rightly divided, and we'll see you next time.